we've discussed quite a bit about geopolitics and how everything is controlled. This report we're going to go into here is by Brandon Smith of alt-market.com. This guy predicted, or this website predicted, Trump's selection. And he's also stated that the elites are going to use Trump to bring about the financial collapse. Now, it's very interesting to go through the geopolitical flashpoints. Let's go through it. Anyone who has been involved in alternative geopolitical and economic analysis for a decent length of time understands that the establishment power structure thrives according to its ability to either exploit natural crises or to engineer fabricated crises. Let me give you an example. Under the Obama administration, we saw all of these false flags, and they always involved guns, right? Okay, well, the motive was to get rid of guns. It's just been like 2 months since Trump was selected, and I have yet to see one regarding a massive push against guns. In fact, gun crimes are actually at a low point right now. So you got to, like, what's going on there? Surely, it is evident that there was some manufacturing of crises under Obama. This is not hard to comprehend, but for some reason, there are a lot of people out there who simply assume that a global sea change events just happen at random, that the elites are stupid or oblivious, and that all outcomes are a matter of random chance rather than being directed or manipulated. I call these people intellectual idiots because they believe they are applying logic to every scenario, but they are sabotaged by an inherent bias which causes them to deny the potential for, quote, conspiracy. To clarify, their logic folds in on itself and becomes faulty. They believe themselves objective, but they abandon objectivity when they staunchly refuse to consider the possibility of covert influence by organized special interests. Lately, we've been talking a lot about the special interest groups who are behind the United Nations, especially the Club of Rome. In fact, we just published an exclusive yesterday about this matter. Go to christiantruther.com for more information on that. When you internally dismiss the possibility of a thing, no amount of evidence will ever convince you of its reality. This is how the, quote, smartest people in the room can end up being the dumbest people in the room. In the survivalist world, there is an ideology that works. There is no such thing as a crisis for those who are prepared. You can take that ideology and extend it all the way out to the nation level. The only way a society can fall is when it becomes willfully ignorant of potential outcomes and refuses to organize against them. By extension, it would make sense that by being prepared for a particular crisis or outcome, an individual or group could not only survive, but also thrive. It is not crazy or outlandish to entertain the idea that there are groups in power, perhaps for many generations, that aggressively seek to predict or even force particular outcomes in geopolitics for their own profit. And by profit, I do not necessarily mean material wealth. In many cases, the power of influence and psychological sway over the masses might be considered a far greater prize than money or property. You know, we often go after George Soros because of his influence and what he has done. That man has the ability to pick up a phone and crash an entire economy. He has stated that in a public interview with mainstream media. It's not a conspiracy to know for a fact there are individuals who can make or break entire economies with a phone call. And you think about, there are individuals that are that powerful. They have enormous amounts of wealth, yet they do it for whatever political ideology they align themselves to. But George Soros is like the bottom of the totem pole. You keep going up. Yeah. Soros is barely in the top 30 on Forbes' billionaire list. He's number 29. He's not even within the top 10, but I know a lot of people treat Soros as if he's that powerful. But there are others. You've got Bill Gates, who's going to be the world's first trillionaire. You've got Warren Buffett. You've got Jeff Bozo. It's Bezos, but we pronounce it Bozo. And of course, Ortega, Zuckerberg, Ellison, Charles Koch, or the Koch brothers. David Koch, that's the other brother. Michael Bloomberg. Those are the top 10. There's a couple of those I think I can't remember off the top of my head. But you see what I'm saying? Soros is at barely in the 30 of the world's most richest people. There are other people who are even behind them. We have to recognize that there is an elite behind this. And they stay hidden in the shadows. They don't really ever make a move to the front of it all. Because those who control the strings, if you knew who they were, if we could figure out who exactly they were, what would happen? Now anyways, let's continue in the article. You can buy slaves or purchase the means to make demands of people at gunpoint, but you cannot put a price on adoration. This is what establishment elites ultimately want. Voluntary servitude, from the populace. They want us to beg for their leadership rather than accept it under threat. To this end, a Hegelian model of problem, reaction, solution is required. You cannot influence people to volunteer for servitude and submission unless they are sufficiently terrified of the alternative. The globalists tend to use what I call a scattershot effect when it comes to creating or managing chaos. They set the stage for multiple flashpoints around the world and wait to see which of them works and which of them fails. If you have enough of these flashpoints in place, statistically, there is a high probability that at least some of them will succeed. We saw this in obvious from a few years ago when the covert intelligence agencies instigated the Arab Spring, insurgencies in Libya and Egypt, among other nations, along with the funding and training of terrorist groups in Libya and Jordan. That went on to become ISIS in Syria and Iraq. And at nearly the same time, we had elitist lapdogs like John McCain in both Syria and Ukraine helping to foment unrest and civil war. All of these engineered events created a wave of global instability that exists to this day. Not only this, but one successfully executed flashpoint has the ability to give birth to dozens of new flashpoints. They tend to spread like cancer. Now, in this article, we're going to go over the U.S. debt ceiling. I realize we have seen this many times in the past 8 years under the Obama administration. Extreme media hype over the possible conflict between Republicans and Democrats, and extending the ongoing debt ceiling problem for another couple of months or another couple of years. In every instance, Republicans feigned attempts to reduce government spending and then rolled over to extend. The entire fight was purely theoretical and likely meant to distract the public. However, in this instance, certain elements are very different. With the deadline of March 15th, that was a few days ago, almost 10 days ago, the clock is ticking on remaining funds and extraordinary measures designed to stretch the federal budget until a vote on a debt ceiling extension can take place. Funds are predicted to last perhaps until this fall. Treasury Secretary Stephen Mnuchin, a Goldman Sachs alumni, has, of course, asked Congress for a quick vote to raise the ceiling. This is rather counter to Donald Trump's original position that constant national debt increases are embarrassing to Republicans. Given it is not Trump's fault that he inherits the most massively inflated liability bubble in U.S. history after Barack Obama nearly doubled the national debt during his tenure, but this does not change the reality that the U.S. is far beyond its means to balance the budget or maintain the current level of spending. And I would remind everyone that the official debt does not even include the trillions in ongoing costs associated with entitlement programs or Social Security. How is this different from what we saw? Back a few years ago, I shouldn't say a few, back at the last crisis with the debt ceiling. It was plastered all over the news. How many times have we seen debt ceiling fight blah, blah, blah in the news cycle? So you can see why this particular debt ceiling fiasco might be different. With Trump in office, establishment elites do have a perfect opportunity to sow fiscal chaos and scapegoat conservatives in the process. Whether they will follow through or not remains to be seen. Now we have the North Korean wild card. They're back. Yes, North Korea pops up out of the geopolitical every 2 or 3 years or so to flood the mainstream media with headlines of apocalypse. And as to the latest headlines from North Korea, this is an article I put together this morning. I'm going to read some of it to you. Normally, each year around this time, this is the same time every year. It's not just every couple of years, it's every year. We see some sort of crisis taking on with North Korea. But this year, North Korea is about to test a hydrogen bomb. And the South China Sea crisis has picked back up. Normally, each year around this time, there is an increase in tensions between North Korea, Japan, the U.S., and South Korea. But this year, the tension is far worse, and the missile tests are far more. North Korea is about to begin testing a nuclear weapon, warned South Korea. Last year, Kim Jong-un stated that they had mastered the ability to mount a warhead on a ballistic missile. The North last year claimed that they had successfully carried out a nuclear test at the same site last January. However, their latest missile test on Wednesday blew up in their faces, literally. Just seconds after launch, the U.S. and South Korea reported that the test had failed. The missiles was aimed at Japan. Previously, other tests had landed 200 nautical miles off the coast of Japan. Newly added to the list of concerned countries regarding North Korea is Russia, who moved a satellite into the region to monitor the situation. Rex Tillerson, the Secretary of State, stated that the U.S. days of strategic patience are over and that a preemptive strike was on the table. The end goal of Tillerson's plan is to move North Korea into a different stance, one that involves dialogue with the West. But how do we know how North Korea works. North Korea is China's bulldog. North Korea is doing these tests to, I imagine, to test the new administration that's in our White House. Another official speaking to Fox News said the test could come as early as the end of this month, said one official. According to Fox News, North Korea is in the final stages of preparing for another nuclear test. This would make 5 tests so far, the first being in 2006. That coupled with several other missile tests throughout recent weeks. And of course, if you move down further throughout the article, you'll come across the South China Sea section. According to a China premier on a recent trip to Australia who spoke with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, China's visiting premier has dismissed suggestions his nation is militarizing the waters of the South China Sea, but has acknowledged the defense equipment placed on disputed islands was to help maintain freedom of navigation by a communist country. Yeah, communism and freedom don't go together. Also, with respect to the so-called militarization, China never has any intention to engage in militarization in the South China Sea while they stack up and build islands there for that purpose. Several other smaller countries, such as Japan and the Philippines and Vietnam, that surround the South China Sea have voiced their opinions about the communist nation's advancement in the region. Japan, for instance, recently completed its second helicopter carrier, the Kaga, Wednesday, sending a message of military strength to China. Japan wasn't shy about its motivation. Vice Minister of Defense said at the ceremony, Tokyo was deeply concerned about China's construction of islands and military bases in the South China Sea waterway. Now, if you keep going further, roughly $5 trillion worth of trade each year travels through the South China Sea. And several nations in the region utilize the waterways of the South China Sea, especially the U.S. and Japan. So the militarization by the communist nation of China is a stark reason for concern in that region. Now keep in mind, there is a massive threat still of a trade war with China. Mexico, Canada, I mean, well, there's a lot of countries that we're about to have a trade war with, but we need better deals. We keep getting shafted. But anyways, a trade war. Let's get back to that geopolitical article. Like the debt ceiling, we have seen numerous instances of heightened tensions with North Korea fizzle out, overblown by the MSM and the Pentagon, perhaps to remind the world why we should continue to be afraid. That said again, this time feels different. Now again, that's what I'm trying to say. Look, this happens. Something like this happens with North Korea every year, but it has not been this worse, or this bad, excuse me. That was bad English. This tension, it's not necessarily coming from North Korea. It's coming from China. I'm beginning to wonder if we're really going to have a proxy war in the Koreas. We'll see. That's a total hypothetical situation. I'm not trying to make a prediction. I'm just saying I'm wondering. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson has stated quite blatantly that preemptive strikes against North Korea are immediately on the table, meaning the mere hint of a threat, whether real or imagined, could be used as a rationale to strike kinetically, not economically or diplomatically, but a full-bore shooting war. This time, it is possible, more than ever before. If Trump is to be used by the establishment as a scapegoat for collapse, as Brandon Smith predicted long before his selection, then a situation must occur in which overt military force abroad and at home is solidified. War is the smokescreen by which terrorism, whether real or state-sponsored, flourishes, martial law being the inevitable result. War can also be blamed for an economic crisis that was already many years in the making. A conflict with North Korea does offer the globalists a perfect petri dish for directed chaos. And now you have to keep in mind the other little thing that's on the table here. China said they're ready to step up and lead the new world order. The communist nation, which the UN, Europe, and a lot of other countries say, yes, that's congratulations, China, you are the leader. Resurgence of terrorism. There is a massive resurgence in terrorism. Terrorism in itself does not necessarily represent a geopolitical flashpoint unless we are talking about something on the scale of 9/11. But it does tend to act as a building catalyst for other major government and social shifts. The rise of what the globalists call populism, their favorite scapegoat now for every crisis under the sun, including crises that have been gestating for nearly a decade, could be directly linked in part to the forced mass immigration programs in the EU and the US, as well as expanding terrorism. Every attack will bring certain Western nations ever closer to a more nationalist government. As this process continues, the danger of globalists and central banks pulling the plug on stock market support surges, from terrorism to populism to economic collapse. This is the narrative that the public will be sold in the near future. It is a narrative that could scar the world for generations to come if we do not continue to expose the real internationalist culprits behind our ongoing fiscal instability. There is a massive instability. This tension between nations, it is being fomented by an agenda. Currently, within that agenda, it's called the multipolar world order. These flashpoints that Brandon Smith is talking about, it goes directly on the path of multipolarity. They collapse this system, the multipolar system, they bring about their new world order. If you need to know more about that, go to our website. We have a page on it. Just search multipolar world order. There's a little search button. You'll see it. If you either click on, if you're on your phone, there's a little button on the top right section. Just, you know, type that in, click that one. There you go. And then, of course, if you're on the website, on the desktop, you'll see the search button. There is a lot going on right now. There's a lot of tension. The division is all the way down to the very, all the way within our government. This changing of alliances, this shifting of agendas, this foundational shift, it's having an effect on the world, and we can see it. And we can see how they're trying to bring order out of chaos. We can see how they're going to try and collapse this and who they're going to blame it on. That's all I got for you. God bless and carry on. Go Unlimited. Act now and save almost 50% on a yearly membership. Use promo code SUBPRO15. Find out more at christiantruther.com/info.